Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, everybody. This is David Heimer, and this is Profiles in Prosperity. Jason Henderson is the founder and president of Best Air Conditioning Plumbing Repair in Las Vegas, Nevada. Jason's a really smart guy. He's built a great company with fast growth, a strong brand, and a wonderful reputation. I'm sitting here with Jason in Orlando, Florida at the International Roundtable, where Jason's just won the Extraordinary Outlook Award. That's the award given to a newish company that's on its way to greatness. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about Jason's company and how he grew it. So Jason Henderson, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you so much for having me on, David. I was so honored when I received the invitation.
Well, thanks very much. So tell me, how did you get into this fabulous industry?
It's not a very glamorous way, I could say that. I pretty much got into the industry just because I needed a job.
Not a bad way in.
Yeah. You know, I live in Las Vegas, so my first job was working in a casino at the age of 14, bussing tables and cleaning the kitchen and stuff like that. And it wasn't very glamorous. I didn't really enjoy it. And I really just wanted a change. I ended up working as a service helper, basically following a guy around, carrying tools. I saw an ad in the newspaper, so it was a pretty long time ago.
Yeah, back when they had ads in the newspaper.
Back when they had newspapers.
Yeah.
Saw an ad in the newspaper saying, no experience necessary, come on in and we'll train you. So I went in and just basically carried around tools and did pretty much everything at that point through the industry, from being a duct cleaner, a maintenance technician, a service technician, an installer, eventually got into being a sales technician, and then just worked my way through management.
And so you were working, was that all at one company or did you change jobs? Or
I changed to a few different companies. Just basically worked for a company where we cleaned duct work and then tried to, you know, sell a AC tune-up. I went to another company where I worked as a sort of a service sales technician and did my own installations, and then moved on to another company that primarily focused on maintenance. So I did a lot of maintenance there, sold a lot of memberships, and would turn around and sell equipment.
And so at some point you decided, I'd like to own my own business. I'd like to start my own business. And when did that happen and what sort of propelled you into that?
Well, I worked for a company for about 15 years and I did enjoy working there. Basically, they had given me a position as a general manager. Really what it was just a title just to keep me working there to prevent me from going to either work for a competitor or possibly go start my own company. I didn't feel very fulfilled. I wasn't really learning about management properly. Couldn't go and do any training and things like that. So you hear people wondering whether or not they should train their technicians. And, you know, I really believe that you should, because people want to be fulfilled and they want to feel like they're contributing. And so that just led me down the path of really wanting to get my own company started.
And so about what year was it when you made the leap and started Best Air Conditioning Plumbing Repair? Great name, by the way.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's only been a year and a half. We started our company August 1st of 2017, and it was just my wife and I in our home office, basically just a bunch of papers all over a table and a desk and one truck, and me with some tools, and we printed out a bunch of invoices for me to go run calls. That's pretty much how we started.
Tell me about where you are now. So it's been about a year and a half, is that right?
Right. Okay.
So where are you at this point in time?
Well, yeah, it's been a year and a half from scratch. Right now, we're at 18 employees. We have 11 trucks on the road, and we're actually looking to hopefully put a couple more on the road here within the next few weeks.
That's amazing. 18 employees, so you've essentially added an employee a month on average. That's phenomenal growth. And so what's the secret to that? How did you do this?
You know, I'm very fortunate. I have an amazing team. And I hear a lot of people say that. The thing about my team that's a little unique is my team are basically people that I hired purely on what I thought their ability could be, completely on aptitude. I hired a few service technicians that I've known in the past that were great communicators, in my opinion, very talented guys, and set them on a path or put them on a path to become a sales and service manager. I hired another technician that was also a great communicator, great guy, someone that I trusted, and now he's in the position of installation manager. My office staff is comprised of an operations manager, a customer service manager, and actually years ago, I trained both of them to be telemarketers. I met them. They weren't in the industry at all. They came in. I wrote a script for them, taught them how to be telemarketers. And not only were they so good at being telemarketers, but they were just people that would show up to work every day to work. People that came in with a great attitude, that were prepared to get the job done that day. And they slowly worked their ways up through the office, CSRs, dispatchers, becoming office managers. And now one of them is my operations manager and the other is my customer service manager. Same with plumbing. We have plumbing as well. My plumbing service manager is the best plumber that I've ever met. Our model is a little different than some other companies out there. It may change because we're in a constant state of evolution where I'm at. We don't use comfort advisors. We actually use selling techs. It's something that I've always been used to, which doesn't mean that it'll always be that way. But all of my guys were really good, effective selling technicians. And that's what's carried us. My relationship with them, their relationship with me, their ability to go out and really represent the company in the very best way possible. I'd have to say that that's a major part of it. But to have gotten to right now, there were a few different things that happened for us that were major things. When we started the company, we basically started it with just our life savings, my wife and I. We started with our life savings and we weren't rich people, you know, just a technician and a office manager, just hardworking people. We were really good at saving. That's for sure. But we got into the industry and, you know, I thought I knew a lot more than I really knew. And once we got into the business, I found out very quickly that I didn't know a whole lot. In September, I went to Service World. So a month after I started the company, and I had researched Service Nation Alliance and Service Roundtable. And we were roundtable members already right when we started. We went and got a membership for that. And I met with you and I sat through your presentation of Service Nation. And every single thing that you said, David, really rang true for me. The things that you said in a joking way, but they were so serious about, did you start a business so that you could stop
starting a business?
Yeah. Why did you start a business? And I sat there and nodded along and started to feel a little more sick and a little more sick thinking, you know, I guess that's where I'm kind of at right now. And I don't think that we were doing well. Knowing what I know now, I know that we weren't doing well right in the very beginning. Of course, it was a little short term there of a month to 2 months, but I joined Service Nation that day, and what it did for me was it actually made me aware of the fundamentals that I needed to work on to be a successful company. And so I went off to boot camp, and that was amazing. If anyone listening has never heard of the Service Nation boot camp, it's extreme. There's so much there to learn, especially for me, not knowing anything about business, just knowing the trade, which isn't enough to make a successful company. I learned very quickly that I was practically in over my head. But the nice thing that happened from that was I started implementing every single thing that I heard. I started talking to other members. And one of the greatest things about Service Nation is the fact that members will sit down and share just about every single idea or everything that they know about business. And then it's really up to you as a business owner to take that information, apply it towards what you do, or innovate it to where it can suit you and really get rolling with it. And that's what happened for us. So I have to say that, well, I don't know what would have happened, of course. You know, we were in September to October at this point, so only a couple of months in once I joined. But so many things happened at that point that started us and started to correct our course, started to create a solid path for us, that we immediately started to see gains and we immediately almost started to see the light, I could say. And so, you know, there's a possibility that I know we wouldn't be exactly where we are now if it wasn't for joining, but who knows what would have happened, you know, just going into business and not having an idea of what we're going to do and just sort of going to work every day, hoping to bring in some money to pay bills. That's just not enough to be a solid company, at least not in my opinion. So I do have to say that Service Nation was a huge part of getting us to where we're at right now.
I appreciate that. I wasn't looking for this to be a Service Nation testimonial, but I certainly appreciate it.
Well, you know, I know that it wasn't really supposed to be that, but there were so many little things. So, you know, when you're in Service Nation, you're in AB groups. And an AB group is an advisory board group. And there's a mentor there, and they talk with you every week, and they listen to what you're doing, and they'll assess what you're doing, and usually give you pointers. And as a selling technician, most of my life, I've always been pretty good at selling jobs and creating revenue. And my mentor at the time, Don Harris, who's a really great guy, he questioned me. And I know it was early spring of last year. And he said, "Jason, man, you're doing great. These numbers look phenomenal. I can't believe it. You're really out there bringing in a lot of revenue. So what's your net profit?" And I just sat there and I looked at him. You know, we're looking at each other on a webcam. And I said, "Well, I don't know." And he said, "Come on, man. I can't believe you don't know." So, you know, that was his way of holding me accountable. Well, right after that conversation, I hurried up and found someone that day to start working on my numbers and giving me that data that I really needed to measure. So it's just been great. You know, he didn't tell me, "Hey, you have to go find a person." He didn't take me by the hand and say, "Here's a person that you can use." But, you know, he really pushed me in the right direction. So that's another thing. Just so many different people that I've met along the way have had a tremendous impact on what we're doing. So between my amazing team of people that are willing to adapt constantly, they take my message and my vision and have taken the mission that we've established, have taken it and really ran with it, to all of the great members of Service Nation that I've had a chance to work with, to just really implementing everything that we see. You know, that's what's gotten us where we are now. And I believe that that's going to continue pushing us forward to where we can expect good growth.
So there's something in your story that I think is really interesting, and you may be being a little overly modest on this. And that is that you are able to hire people that you had worked with before. And to do that means that you have to have a certain level of trust and leadership skills and competency that they would choose to leave what they were doing, jump ship, and go into this fledgling business and just throw in with you and hope it all ends up okay. But they had to believe in you. And you must have had a really good career before that. And you must have established a great deal of belief in yourself with them. I mean, you hired guys that were going to be your sales manager, that was going to be your service manager, that was going to be your operations manager, your dispatch and CSR managers. You knew these people, and they were willing to throw in with you to come do this with you. And then you talk about, with a sense of pride I get with you, about, "Man, I've got this great team of people." But you knew these people, you worked with them before, and they trusted you. I mean, that's a hell of a deal to get people to change and go start off something new and, you know, risky, right? It just is risky. Changing jobs is risky enough. Changing jobs to go work with someone that's starting a new company is really risky, but they were all willing to do it.
Unbelievable, right?
I think it says something about you. I think that it's a great compliment to you that you were able to get these guys. You got the best plumber you've ever known to come work for you. I mean, yeah. You know, plumbers are especially hard to find. And you didn't just find, you know, I found a plumber and he was okay. You found the best plumber you've ever known. And he was willing to come throw in with you as well.
Well, I have a lot of respect for everyone in this industry. That includes the technicians, the maintenance techs, the installers, especially distributors. I respect distributors. I respect everyone in this industry, and they know it. Even just the distributors that I talk to in Las Vegas. When I talk with them and we have lunch, I'm not sitting there just always trying to negotiate a deal with them. Mm-hmm. I'm not sitting there to say, what's in it for me all mm-hmm. the time. And they know it. They've even heard me say it. And people that work with me in our shop, they know that it's the way that we treat people. I've told them all, look, we're all in this industry together. This industry can be tough. We should respect each other. We're not direct competitors. You know, we are all people that are in this industry. Whether you're a plumber, whether you're a tech, whether you're an installer, whether you're a Service Nation Alliance member from another state, you know, I can't wait to talk to someone in the industry. I don't care If you're a huge company, I don't care if you're just a startup company. I'm very interested in what you're doing. And I enjoy talking to people in this industry. It's a great, great industry.
Yeah.
So, and I know that my team understands that because they're all great people of this industry too. And one thing about the people that I work with, they're in a constant state of being challenged by me. I challenge them every single day to strive to be better at what they do. And they actually enjoy that. But I don't challenge them by saying, hey, we need to work faster. Hey, we need to work smarter. Hey, we need to look at this or that. That's not what we do. We look at ideas and I say, hey, what do you think of this idea? Hey, do you think that something like this could possibly work?
Collaborative management. One of the things we heard about today in the presentations today, as a matter of fact.
It's funny, you know, 80% of my entire crew are millennials, and I'm not a millennial. You know, I'm 44 years old, so I'm a Gen Xer, and I love millennials. I love working with them. I enjoy hearing about what they want to do. I enjoy seeing that buy-in take place because they get excited. I enjoy seeing them come up with an idea. I guess I'm the final say. If we're all sitting in a room and we're all talking about different ideas, if I absolutely disagree, then I would say, well, I don't think we're going in that direction. But that's never happened because we all have the same mind. They know exactly what I'm trying to accomplish. And they know that in the end, it's really what we're all trying to accomplish together. So they are free flowing with ideas. They can't wait to just jump in and take charge. So I enjoy that. You know, I heard someone asking how to deal with a millennial that's not coming to work because they have to take their kids to school or they have different things that they feel that they should take care of. And how do you deal with that? But I don't think that that's necessarily a generational thing.
I
think that's case by case.
Yep.
How many times have we heard, well, I've got this old school AC tech or this old school plumber, and I'm trying to get them to start effectively communicating with customers. I'm trying to get them to even wear shoe covers. Of course, not everyone wears shoe covers, but you know, even to get a person doing that. And is that a generational thing? Absolutely not, because I'm more than happy to go in and effectively communicate with a client, make sure that they're happy, you know, show them that I have their best interests in mind, clear anxiety, and do all of those things. It's not a generational thing. It's just I'm willing to do that and they are not. And I think it's the same thing with millennials. And what would you do with a old school technician that isn't willing to sort of conform to your company? You'd either try to train him so that he could possibly fit in, or you'd have to find someone to take his place because he's not the proper culture fit.
Yep.
You know, so with people that I'm working with, it just so happens that they're millennials, but I don't think that I treat them any differently. I'm really happy to listen to what people have to say.
Yep. I ask you for three business rules that you follow. Do you mind sharing those with us?
Maybe in no particular order, but the first one that I would want to say is to always be in a constant state of learning. As a business owner for your team, you know, you want them to always be in a constant state of learning, and you always want to strive to seek education, and I always want to provide education for my team. And what I mean by that, it's not just about reading books, which of course we actually do read a lot of books and we even have assigned reading. One of the first things that I did once I started them all on their management path, which I said, look, you're going to be a manager in training for a year. Here's what you need to do. And I had them start to read, but to always seek education and also be aware that you don't know everything. You know, so now I'm a business owner. I own a company that seems like we might be heading in the right direction, but I know that I don't know everything. And I think there's a big thing to be said for that. I've talked to a lot of contractors over the years, and there's a couple of them that maybe think that they know everything, you know, and not to say there's a lot, but you know, once you know everything,
I've met one or two of those.
Once you feel like you know everything, then you can no longer learn anything. Your mind isn't open to learn. You're not willing to actually listen to a person and take their ideas and consider them and try to apply them to what you actually do. When I managed a company, just to give you an example, I really wanted to go to a sales class. Someone was giving a sales seminar and I really wanted to go to it. And the previous owner of the company said, Jason, you could teach that class. And I said, you know what? And I told him this. I said, I could teach a class, but I couldn't teach their class. They have a different perspective than I have. I have a different, they couldn't teach my class.
Right.
Because we all have different perspectives. But when I go to a class, of course, I'm hoping to learn 100 different things, but I know if I can learn 2 to 3 three things, two to three really good things, then it makes me a better person. So I've become more educated, more versatile, more understanding, and more aware of what I could possibly do. When I say educating yourself, there's something that my team does now, and I assign them all to this at the beginning of this year. This is going to be our second full year. Every week of this year, each one of them has to do a selfie video that we put on Facebook. And I did the first one. And when I came up with the concept, I didn't know how hard it was going to be. So I did the thank you for an awesome 2018 Las Vegas selfie video to put on Facebook. And it was so hard. It was so difficult, but it's that challenge that makes you grow as a person. So once my team started submitting videos to me, you know, you could see them do six or seven, eight takes and then finally get it right. And now when they're doing these selfie videos, they look like they've been doing them for their entire life. They look like they're movie stars. And what it was that challenge that they had to overcome and that discomfort that they had to overcome that helped them sort of evolve into now being able to do that constantly. So my first one's definitely to always be in a constant state of learning. And that's a big thing.
Yeah, I want to go back to the selfie video for just a second. A really intriguing idea. I like it a lot. So what sort of things do they put up? Does it matter? Have you got a theme or is it just, you know, create something that's business related or just something about you personally? What sort of things are you looking for there?
Well, so far, I think most of them have all been business related, but I'm really happy to just receive a video just about personal things that aren't overly personal, but just things that show what type of person they are, because we're putting these on Facebook. What happens is every Friday, a video gets submitted to me. It gets put on Facebook. It gets put on our YouTube channel. It gets put on our website all on the same day. Oh, and also our Google listing. And it's there to show the public that we're normal people, that we're good people. It's also there to help challenge the team to become better at what they do. But I've had different ones from my service manager inside of an attic, repairing a furnace under warranty, changing out a control board and talking about that, to my operations manager on Valentine's Day saying, Las Vegas, we love you, to my plumbing manager replacing a recirculating pump on a water heater and how that all goes. My office manager talking about, of course, it's springtime and it's time to get your AC checkup done and I'm here for you. So if you have any problems, questions, or if you're just wanting to make sure that everything's going to go well this summer, give me a call anytime. I'm here for you.
So is everybody in your company doing this or just the management team?
All of the leadership team is doing it.
And then they have to do one every week?
There's 1 week assigned to each person. It's each a rotation person, of about six or seven people.
So every 6 weeks or so, you got to provide a video.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. Listen, I guarantee you that somebody else is going to do that as a result of this podcast.
Sure, and that's okay.
It's a great idea. Okay, so sorry to take you off task.
No,
number one was always learning. I like that a lot.
The second one for me is to constantly work on systemization. So in the beginning, we were just basically a call would come in. We'd run the call the way that we always have. We'd close out the call the way that we always have. But there was nothing written down. There was nothing there to create a consistent experience. And like many other business owners, you know, I ended up stumbling across the E-Myth.
Yep. Great book.
And, you know, I again, every time I read something or hear that I'm not doing something right, you know, it makes me uncomfortable to where I have to go out and get it right or at least get it started.
That book can certainly make you uncomfortable.
I started to read that book and I sort of felt sick and I said, wow, I remember when I was just like that. And maybe at the time that I read it, I wasn't quite like that, but I had a lot of work to do. And so I read that book and I said, this is very important. I have to get this started. And so we did. We basically now have a process for just about everything that we do. And they're all written down. We have service manuals that we wrote from scratch, sales processes that we wrote from scratch for almost every type of sales process. And we still keep it simple enough that it's something that someone can follow consistently, because that's important to us. Yeah. We want to have We want to give our clients the best and most consistent customer experience possible. That's very important to us. And, you know, my team knows this. My AB members that I talk with every week, they know this. And my family knows this. One of the biggest reasons that resonates so true for me, the biggest reason why I'm constantly pushing on systems and processes for our company is, what if I died tomorrow? And I hate to say it that abruptly, but it really is that serious. My team knows the why. That's very important. They know why I say, hey, we need a process for this and we need to get it done as soon as possible. I'll assign them, you know, a month's worth of work to get a process created and done if it's one that's a little more intricate. But they all know that the reason for that is because, what if I died tomorrow? Would the company just cease to exist?
Mm-hmm.
Because a year ago, if I died, the company would have ceased to exist.
Right.
Because I was out there saying, okay, guys, here's the calls that you're going to run today. Okay, let me get all this stuff ready for you, install team. Office staff, did you get a chance to run that credit card? I don't know. Is there a credit card around here that we can run? You know, there's just different things that, you know, you do as either a small business owner or, you know, maybe a person that's even micromanaging, just a person that's there managing every single task.
Yep.
I'm not good enough to manage every single task. You know, my team needs to manage all of those tasks. They need to manage all of those systems and processes. And that's why it's so important for me. If something happened to me and I have a nice team with families, I have a family, you know, I have a wife and four kids. What would happen? Would we just stop and everyone would just go find another job and that would be the end of that? That's not something that I want to create, and that's not something that I want to have as a company. I want a company that's going to be able to run itself as well as possible without me.
Yep.
And my management team, that's what they're doing. You know, they have a goal of wanting to see me take off for 6 months and come back to a growing, breathing company. I can't direct tasks, daily duties, and give them orders about every single detail. Everything is there and it's systematized. Now, I can't say that it's perfect. We're in a constant state of Sure. evolution. If we notice something that's not going the way that, you know, we originally set up, then we automatically make adjustments. New things do come up every so often. And so that's when we create a system or a process for that. So that's number two, I'd say. That's a big deal for us. And the next one is taking action. Okay. They say proper preparation prevents poor performance. And I absolutely do agree with that. And I think that the key word there is proper preparation.
Yeah.
Not overanalyzing
yeah.
to the point that you have now become, you know, almost paralyzed by either fear or your concern with maybe your lack of ability or anything like that. You know, we all have our good, solid foundations of what we do. We know what we're good at, and we should always make sure that we can fall back on those things. But in my opinion, in order to evolve, in order to grow, we have to get out there and take action. If we hear about something that resonates and sounds, rings true with us, then we should get out there, maybe consider how that would work for us. But then once we've considered that and we see that it can work, then I think that we should get out there and do it. For us, like I said, with joining Service Nation, you know, I was able to be exposed to so many different things that we're now doing. But I think that there are some people that might be afraid to do certain things because they've always done things a certain way. And I just think that taking action is extremely important. That's a big thing for us.
Yeah, I think there's some quote, I think it might be Patton. I'll probably mangle this, but I think it's something like, a bad decision executed promptly is better than a great decision never executed at all.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know,
there's just something about action, taking
yeah.
action, trying something, modify it if you have to, but moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, you have to be brave and you have to do it. There's yeah. enough talk going on. It's time to do it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I do want to add one last thing in on that, though. One more rule, because I think that it's just as important as the other one. And it's communicating effectively. I think communicating effectively is extremely important. You know, we check in for understanding with our clients. When we have a client, if we're sitting there and giving a presentation, we confirm their understanding. We'll check in with them and say, well,
yep.
do you understand what I'm saying here? But I think that we should also do the same with our team. You know, constantly checking diving in for understanding with our team is important. Everyone's heard people say, I've told this person 1,000 times.
Sure.
And they are still doing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's possible that this person really only needed to be told once. They just needed to be told in the right way. We needed to confirm understanding. And I think it's our job to effectively communicate our vision, our mission, our core values, and even just communicating simple tasks that we want done. If you only have to say it once, you're more efficient. If you confirm understanding, that simple task will get done the very first time. You won't have to tell them again. I think communicating the why we do certain things can really achieve a buy-in. Mm-hmm. By that person. Having your staff or your team member repeat back to you in their own words what they're trying to accomplish and why. And if it's a more intricate task, asking them, how would they train this task of someone? You know, how would you train someone to perform this task?
Yeah. That's a great question.
And why would you train them in that way? And what would you expect the results to be from training them that way? And at that point, there's a real buy-in. They'll actually think about it. It's been communicated effectively and they're telling you. And now if there's something that you don't agree with what they're saying, then you can even follow it up with another question. Well, do you see how possibly it would be better if you tried it this way? Or have you ever thought about trying it this way? So it just brings a little more awareness. I think communicating is very important, especially with your team members. And it doesn't matter if you're talking to your general manager, and it doesn't matter if you're talking to a duct cleaner. You know, if they understand what the goal is, people want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
They just need some communication. So that's the other one. I just wanted to add that in there.
I think it's a great important one. Final question. You mentioned you read books.
Yeah.
We mentioned the E-Myth.
Sure.
So you've got this guy that's just entering the industry. You said, man, I want to give you a book. I really want you to read this book. What book would you give him or her?
Well, there's so many different books. You know, a book that I really love, and I know just about everyone's probably read it, is Traction. I do like that book a lot. I'm actually reading it currently, I think, for maybe the third time.
Wow.
I do like it. I love The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell.
John Maxwell, yeah.
I like Key Person of Influence by Daniel Priestley.
Key Person of Influence?
Yeah, like KPI.
Oh, yeah.
And he calls it a KPI. That's a pretty good one. Big Potential. And I'm not sure how to say his last name. I guess it's Sean Acor, possibly.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I haven't read that book, but I've got it.
It's pretty good, you know. So I listen to all of your podcasts, David. Listen
to every single one. You?
I listen to every single one of them. And Dave Rothacker.
Yep.
I've actually never met him, but I've listened. And I listen to every single time he comes up with his different
book report.
Books. Yeah. And I actually, because I'll just pop in my AirPods and I take my daughter to her dance studio and sit there and listen to either a book or I'll listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'll actually take notes on my phone about which books to look up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several on my list to read. The books that I just said, those are all real core fundamental type books that everyone should read.
So the one thing that I think is really interesting when I look at these, you're all about managing the team, aren't you? I mean,
I love my team.
What a nice thing to say. I love my team. But when you look at these things, look at what you put down on your list of your 3 business rules, your 4 business rules, you know, a lot of those are about the team communicating effectively. And then you look at these things on the list here, they're about management and team. It really is. It's all about the people, isn't it?
For me, it is, you know, and I think for all of them, it is. I believe that any one of my team members would get out there and work for free if I needed them to. Now, they'll never need to work for free.
Yeah.
But I believe that they would. And I truly believe they would. If we were struggling, they would work for free. And, you know, that's like you said earlier, when they all decided to come work right in the beginning, they could have been working for free, you know, and they knew it. But they believed that they wouldn't be. And they believed in what we wanted to do. They believed in me. I believed in them. And even now, you know, I hear a lot of people having difficulties with recruiting. And we don't have any difficulties with recruiting. We can hire, you know, I believe that we can hire whatever we need when we need it. That has a lot to do with our team. Our team is welcoming. They're great. They're constantly striving. And who doesn't want to be a part of that?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And working for somebody who believes in them. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today. This has been a fascinating interview. And I know you guys are just going to do so well. So congratulations. Hopefully, we'll have another chance. I'd love to get you back in a year and have another follow-up. I think that would be fascinating.
I would love to be back. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.